This morning we are reading from Mark 3, verse 1 to 12. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on a Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem to Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. This is the word of God. Jesus was at this point becoming, as we read, very, very popular. And suddenly the whole religious elite of that time really, really started to pay attention to him and what he was doing. Because he obviously came with something quite new, something that had the potential to disrupt the whole religious system at that time. So there, for the religious elite to be there was just not just out of, well, very interesting. Let's see how God speaks to us through this very great preacher. I think they came much more with fear, actually, and they seemed so settled on finding a way to hurt him or to just take him out of office. Because what he was bringing actually was a bomb underneath the whole system. And coming with that mind, sitting and listening to a sermon, trying to find out and really listening for when is he saying something that is not good? When is he turning to blasphemy? Or, you know, when that becomes a whole paradigm, you see everything through, out of your own fear. When you approach God's word, God's miracles, God's world out of fear, you won't be able to see anything. You won't be able to see the miraculously happen, the miracle happening just in front of you. And even when you see it, you won't be able to take it in and to be blessed by it. Because there's something in your heart, the hardened heart, that is not good soil. And fear and anger has that potential of really hardening the heart. And that's why fear is really not from the kingdom. Whenever fear creeps into our lives, we have to become really, really aware of what is happening, because our whole perspective just changes. And we won't be able to see what God actually is doing. So Jesus, he senses that they are so hardened in their hearts, they won't listen at all, whatever he do. But and that's why he is filled with anger. How could it be that the religious elite appointed out by God to lead the whole country into worship, bowing down, being a blessing to all the nations, ended up down through the centuries, ended up being so hardened at heart that they wouldn't be able to take in grace. Where did grace leave the equation down the centuries? And they've become so preoccupied with that the law should be kept. And the law that was actually there for, not for being saved by, but just guarding a life of blessing, of mercy. That fence around, actually to protect real life, to protect mercy, that fence have become the problem itself. Used by the religious elite to exclude people and to say who is clean and who is unclean. So they might observe the law, yes. They did observe the law very, very strictly. But they missed the spirit of the law that has left centuries ago. And that's why the whole religious system was abusive for people. For people with a withered hand, for the poor, the people who didn't have the economy to actually go through all the cleaning rituals, sacrifices. So they became outcasts. So it's actually possible to be a person who observes the whole law of God and be a, what's that called? I only know very bad names for being a fool or being abusive, being stupid and mean at the same time. You can actually observe the whole Christian teaching and still miss the point of it, still miss the heart of it. And you know, down through all the centuries of church history, that has happened. That's happened within my life. It's happened within my denomination. That we just lost track somehow. And Jesus gets so angry because here he comes, the guy who actually comes bringing mercy, trying to infuse into that system, again, rebooting the whole system, the whole law, rebooting it with love in the middle, with the Father heart in the middle. And at this point, it becomes quite obvious that the whole system needs to be disrupted and be replaced. So in that sense, he's a prophet trying to call the people back to repentance, but they won't listen and they will face judgment for that. And a whole new system will take place. He gathers a whole new people around him. He picks 12 guys, just like the 12 tribes of Israel, very symbolic. And he teaches them, he gives them the Spirit, and he sends them out as the new Israel. And it just ends for the Pharisees, and you know, they actually conspiracy with the Herodians. And I'm not sure they liked each other from the beginning before this, because the Pharisees was quite Jewish and the Herodians were more pro-Rome. And you know, but having a common enemy can bring you together, can't it? And I think this was what actually happens here. Yeah. Then Jesus, we hear about that he just gathers that whole disruption thing, that new teaching, that sensing actually there's life in this law. It's not just a religious system, it's actually life. That just gathers people from ranges within 100 kilometers. Everybody is just coming to see what is happening here. And they just have to... It's so much pressure that he has to withdraw out into this boat. It's so attractive when actually mercy is infused into the system. That's when the church explodes, whenever that the Father's heart is infused, when it becomes the primary thing. that everything else evolves around, that the law, all the commandments, if they don't evolve around the Father's heart, it's not attracting people. But as soon as mercy becomes the center, grace, it just explodes. Yeah. And then the funny thing is that actually some of the first to acknowledge what is happening here are the unclean spirits. Because they have, you know, they know what's coming their way, don't they? And they can acknowledge. They can actually acknowledge what a religious leader can't. And that's just totally ironic. But they acknowledge. And later on, other people will acknowledge. We have the Roman, the heathen officer at the cross who acknowledges, yes, this is more than just a preacher. We have the disciples, Peter, saying, you are the Christ. And Jesus, he's quite strict not to tell around. Don't go tell around that I'm the Son of God. And the problem is, that actually Caesar in Rome, he says exactly the same about himself. I'm the Son of God. we found coins with that imprinted, that Caesar is the Son of God. So that was politically, not only religiously disruption happening, it's political disruption happening as well. And I'm sure Jesus knew if that rumor spreads around that I'm the Son of God, I might end up on a cross a bit before I've actually putting down this given, passed on this teaching, actually equipping the whole movement to spread beyond myself. So I think that's why he's very strict. Don't go telling around who I am, because, you know, it's coming my way anyway, but we need some time, friends. But the evil spirits, they acknowledge it. And we need to acknowledge that he is the Son of God. And the Son of God has gotten the power from the Father, but he brings mercy as the center of the whole thing. And that's, of course, why if he just brought more exclusiveness or shape up my friends and observe the law, the unclean spirits wouldn't have been threatened by that at all. But since he brings mercy, since he brings the Father's love and his heart, that's bad news for the unclean spiritual realm. Let's pray. Jesus, we just this morning want to acknowledge who you are, that you are just so much more than we could ever come up with in our minds. And we bow down and acknowledge your lordship over the whole earth and in our lives. And we are sorry for every time that we take mercy out of the equation, and we just do church or discipleship without that at the very core. We repent for every time that we don't see each other and treat each other through the lens of mercy. And we acknowledge that it's out of fear, personal fear, that we do it. That our very own hearts are so broken that we think that we need that, that we need to come out better than other people. And we repent from that. We, as the first, need your love flowing through us, and through that we can serve other people. Amen.